Good. You guys dry? It's wet out there, raining. I didn't see that coming. So it's good to be here. I guess it was last Wednesday we didn't get to meet together, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys feel that a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, I feel it. I feel it now, though, in a good sense, because it feels good to be back together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, walking in here, the singing, it's just a vibrant and exciting, joyful place to be. And I think that that's not for no reason. I think that this is a special place to be. Do you guys feel like midweek is a special place to be?
Yes!
You know, it's special because Jesus is here with us. And it's special because we're Jesus' family. And it's a special time to be together. You know, tonight, we're going to be talking about being Jesus' family and being devoted to being the body of Christ and being devoted to times together with His family and devoted to the body. And so, you know, we're going to be talking about this, but I kind of just want to get into it a little bit here by asking you to raise your hand if you want and just share briefly, what do you love about coming to meetings of the body? Whether it's midweek Wednesday night, Bible talk, Friday nights, or church Sunday, what do you love? What do you appreciate? How does it help you to be at meetings of the body? So let's just have a few people share. Shakira?
I think one thing that's really dear to me is like everyone's special personalities is like so refreshing. Mm. And it's like all of us together.
That's great. That's so true. Anybody else?
Sydney? I think for me, I love that I get to go somewhere where I'm unified and a specific purpose with everyone that is
here. No, that's awesome. That's so true, too. Lydia?
I think for me, outside of our quality times with God, I get another place to escape from the stresses of what's going on in my life. So you guys can distract me and encourage me. It's really helpful. So that's what I love about that.
Tommy?
I think for me, it's like, I always come here, like, and I feel not judged. Like, it's a judge-free zone, you know, and that's why I like it the best.
That's awesome. I'll be over here. So I'll go over here. Daniel?
I would say, like, I'm just really grateful for, like, the amount of love that's here. Sometimes, you know, I tend to forget it. I go to school thinking I would find that love, and then you kind of see, like, this very kind of sad kept to themselves. Everyone's kind of kept to themselves, and I kind of come back here, and it's, like, refreshing to see, like, everybody just happy.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome. Josh?
Yeah, I'm just glad that there's a group of people that can actually...
Dude, we put up with you, man. We love you for it. You're awesome. Thank you, Scott. So yeah, I feel the same way as all the stuff that was shared. It's amazing how we come together and it fills you up and it fuels you. And it is such a place of judgment-free and of joy, of friendship, and an exciting place. I've been a disciple for just over 9 years, and if I think about it, like, man, church almost every Sunday, except for those small handful maybe that were sick or whatever, and then midweeks and Fridays every week, it's been probably hundreds, not right, more just times together. And I don't even know how much that, I don't think I could begin to assess how much that's done for my faith and my walk with God. Just that accumulation of all that is so important. And so, you know, I couldn't even begin to cover the whole topic of the church in one lesson tonight in a justified way. If we were talking about what's the church and every facet of the church and what it's supposed to be. And there's just so much to that. It's discipleship. You know, it's a lot of what the church is, and so that's too big. And so tonight I'm just going to try to really hone in and focus on the importance of and the importance of meetings of the body and the importance of being devoted to meetings of the body and how to be like Jesus at those times. Does that make sense? So we're going to be talking tonight about the importance of meetings of the body, being devoted to those meetings of the body, and then how to be like Jesus at them. So they're important, so I need to be there, but then how am I going to be when I'm there? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No. And hopefully this will give you some helpful insights. But turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is our first picture of the church, and it's such an important passage. You know, Jesus started his church, and it really started on the day of Pentecost when New Testament Christianity started and the new covenant started. And so, you know, the gospel message is preached, and then people respond with faith, they repent, and they're baptized. And then it says, those who were baptized were added to their number, referring to the group of disciples, also known as the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that we're all baptized into one body, which is the church. And so when you made Jesus Lord and you were baptized, you were grafted in into this group that's called the church, also called Jesus's body. Does anybody know the Greek word for church? Ecclesia. And the word church in our world today is a very religious word. We only think about that in terms of Christianity. But in the first century, this Greek word, ekklesia, this word meant an exclusive, set-apart group, kind of devoted to a specific purpose. And so you could apply that in today's terms, like maybe different branches of the military are different ekklesias, right? Whether it's the Navy or the Air Force, or different sports teams are their own ekklesias, right? Some people are part of the Jets ekklesia, and others are part of the Patriots ekklesia. And I couldn't say that I'm part of the Giants, because I'm not. You know, and if I said, I am part of the Giants, they'd say, no, you're not. This is our own, only we, there's a roster. We are part of the Giants, not you. You could be a fan, you could come to the games, but you're not, right? And so Jesus' church, his body, that's his very special, set apart, exclusive group of people. That's his church. These are his people who have made him Lord and been baptized into Christ. We're baptized into Christ, we become part of his body because we're in Christ now. And his body is called the church. In Acts 2, 42 to 47, we get to see a picture of what the church was like. And if the church is Jesus' body on earth, then the church's function should be to be Jesus on earth. Amen. Right? We're his body. So Jesus left, but he left his body through the church. And so now together, each part doing its work, following Jesus, the church is the continuation of Jesus on earth. And let's look at what it was like and what we're to be like as his church today. In Acts 2, 42 to 47, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so this was the pattern of the first century church. And from here, it spread out all over the known world and has made it 2,000 years later to today. And we're now Jesus' church here in this part of North Jersey, meant to continue to be the body of Christ on earth and follow this passage that we just read and the example that they set there for us. When we talk about devotion to the body, I think something important is to help us be devoted to the body is just grasping how special of a time it is when the body's together. That the church isn't just this kind of like secular function or this club or this event that we're going to, but that there's something really sacred and special happening when the church is together. There's what we see in the physical realm, but then there's a spiritual side to it as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says that we no longer see from a worldly point of view anymore. That after we become Christians, we no longer see from a worldly point of view. And so there's a worldly viewpoint, and then there's a spiritual viewpoint. And some examples of this, when you pray, from a worldly viewpoint, you're sitting there just talking to yourself. But on the spiritual realm, we believe that our prayers are somehow making it to God and connecting with him, and that he's answering those prayers. So there's what we see, but then there's a spiritual reality as well. When you're baptized, from a worldly point of view, it looks like you're just getting dunked underwater. But we believe that if you could put on some spiritual lens, that your sin is actually being forgiven, that 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified, that somehow you're being united with that. And that now your room in heaven is secured and the Holy Spirit is now coming into you. And so there's this whole other big spiritual thing that's going on that we can't physically see. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's true with prayer. It's true with fasting. It's true with reading your Bible. It's true with baptism. It's also true with meetings of the body.
Amen.
There's what we see going on, and then there's a whole lot more that we don't see going on. One passage I love that's an insight into this is Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me here. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm not even going to read the whole thing, but starting in verse 22, he's trying to express to them how amazing it is what they're part of in Christ, the kingdom they're part of, the church. He says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly." And so you might be thinking, oh, he's talking about when we get to heaven. But no, he says, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. So he's talking about later in heaven. "You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Jump down to verse 28. It says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire."
Yeah.
He said, man, we should be thankful and we should be reverent and in awe when we come together to worship God, because, man, try to see the spiritual realm of what you're part of right here.
Wow.
I mean, this is the church of the firstborn, but it's so much more than just that.
Right?
It's heavenly counsel. It's that God being here with us, Jesus being present, that we're getting a taste of heaven when we're together, and that there's something supernatural going on. You know, we got to really understand that when we're together for midweek, for Friday, for Sunday, whenever the body of Christ is together, the church, there's something deeply sacred and spiritual and special going on there, and that there's more than what we can see. And so I think that's something to help us be devoted to it, is to know there's something deeply spiritual, sacred, and special going on, something holy, something that God is present in, angels, and Jesus himself is there. It's not just us hanging out for a party. It's something so much more than that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, this is such a special passage to help us understand that. You know, why else is the church special and sacred? Well, because Jesus is part of it. The church is not just his people. It's also Jesus. Jesus is part of his church. There's not Jesus and his church. It's Jesus and his church together as one. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says that Jesus is the head of his body, the church. And so, I don't know about you, but for me, my head is part of my body. It's not separate from my body, it's part of it. It's integral to my body. It's integral to my body functioning. Right? But Jesus is the head of the body, which is his church. And so in the Bible, when you see the word his body or the body, it's talking about the church and vice versa. But this is important to grasp that from the scriptures, you can't separate Jesus from his church. They're intertwined. They're interconnected. If you separate Jesus from his church, it's the same as if you were to cut off a person's head. It wouldn't be alive anymore. But you can't separate Jesus from his church. And so you can't be a Christian, you can't be a disciple unless you're part of Jesus' church. Because there's not one Jesus for every person. There's just one Jesus. And so if you were following Jesus when he was alive here, it wasn't like, well, I'm going to follow Jesus, but you follow a different Jesus because I don't want to do the whole people thing. I just want to have a relationship with Jesus. If you were going to follow Jesus and he's going to follow Jesus, then guess what? You got to have a relationship with each other because there's just one Jesus to follow. And so too, there's one Jesus today. There's one church. You got to be part of Jesus' church if you want a relationship with Jesus. You can't have one without the other. That's God's plan for it. In Matthew 25, verse 40 and 45, listen to what Jesus says here. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did," this is Jesus speaking, "whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And then verse 45, he will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And so Jesus takes it personal how we treat his brothers and sisters, which Hebrews says that we are his brothers and sisters, and that he's not ashamed to call us that. But Jesus takes it personal. Your devotion to The church, Jesus says, that's your devotion to me. The way you treat the church, Jesus says, that's how you treat me. What you do for the church, Jesus says, that's what you've done for me. Or what you don't do for another brother, that's what you don't do for Jesus. Jesus takes it personally, what we do, say, feel about his church. And so not showing up to a meeting of the body for a not good reason is like standing up Jesus.
Wow.
You're not just standing up the campus ministry, you're standing up Jesus. You're not showing up for Jesus. Jesus takes it personally how we treat his church. He says, this is what you do or don't do for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus sees his church with such value. And all throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, the ways he talks about the church is just incredible. And a lot of it is referred to as his family, his household. And so for Jesus, he views the church as his family. This is my eternal family. This is God's household. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22 is a great passage about this. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Come on, Rob.
In Ephesians 2, listen to this. He says to the church, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined and held together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. But he says, look, we're now to be joined and held together, built together as God's household. Jesus sees the church as his family. Amen. And so we should see the church as his family. We should see the church as our family. And maybe not the way we see our family, but the way we should see our family. Right? The way that God sees his family, the way family is meant to be, that's how we need to see the church. Jesus said, who are my mother and brother and sisters? It's those who do the will of God. We should have utmost devotion to the church as our family. The church mattered so much to Jesus. He calls it his family. It is his family. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says, look, I will build my church. And Jesus spent 3 years building his church. That's what he invested his life in. He invested his life in building his church and preparing the apostles who were going to keep building his church. That's what his life was all about, was building his church. And so if you say you follow Jesus, then you should follow Jesus and his commitment and investment in I will build my church.
Amen.
That you take that ownership and life investment in his church the way that he did. If you were to ask Jesus, man, how much is your church worth to you? How much would you value your church at? You know, listen to this passage in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul is writing to the elders in Ephesus and calling them to take really special care of the church and trying to help them understand how important the church is. So in Acts 20, 28, he tells them, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The church was worth Jesus' blood. You know, Jesus owns the church. He bought us with his blood. He owns us. And he paid for us with his blood. We were in debt to him, the debt of sin, and he bought us through his blood. Jesus bought the church with his blood. That shows us how much Jesus values his church. He says, I give my blood for my church. And he did. And not quickly, he was tortured for it. You know, Jesus bought us with his own blood. And not just you individually, us collectively. He bought his church that we're part of. We belong to Jesus, but we also belong to each other. And I think that's important is scripturally, you don't own your life anymore.
Right.
You know, in Corinthians, it says you were bought at a price.
Right.
You don't have the say in your life anymore. Jesus does. You're under his lordship. And so you belong to Jesus. You were bought at a price. You also belong to his church. I belong to the church. We belong to each other, and there's a give and take with that. But I belong to you, but you also belong to me. And I think that's a conviction we need to have. In Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, I've got a lot of scriptures in this lesson. So you can write them down and study them out more. In Romans 12, verses 4 to 5, listen to this. It says, in verse 5, in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And this is saying you belong to the other parts of the church. And the other parts of the church belong to you. But that's not the emphasis there. It's not saying, hey, they belong to you. The emphasis is you belong to them. And then it goes on to say, so whatever gifts you've got, use them for the church. Whatever you've got to give, use it. Because those gifts aren't for you. They're for everybody in the church. So use your gifts for the church. Be giving. Be encouraging. Be sacrificial, whatever it is. But I think this is a conviction we need to own is Jesus bought me. He paid for me with his blood. I belong to him, and I also belong to his church. Jesus owns me, and his church owns me. That's whose I am. And that doesn't diminish our value. That incredibly heightens our value. Because before we belonged to Jesus, we belonged to the kingdom of this world that was going to just perish. Now we get to belong to Jesus' eternal, amazing kingdom and get to be part of his incredible family. You know, we should be proud to be part of Jesus' family because it's an incredible family to belong to. You know, to say, man, I belong to this family. His church is such an amazing family to be proud of belonging to. Amen?
Amen.
And so there's so much here about being devoted because of that. And I think there's a lot that we need to reflect on there. Do you view these times as sacred, special times? Do you view meetings of the body as spiritual, as sacred, as special? If not, you should. Do you view Jesus and his church as interconnected, or do you separate them? You should view them as interconnected and not something that you can separate. Do you view the church as your family? Do you view yourself as belonging to Jesus' church? Or do you view yourself as, well, I'm part of it now, but I could pull out whenever I wanted? Or do you really view the church as, no, I belong to this and I'm not going anywhere?
Amen.
This is my family and I'm here to stay. That's how Jesus viewed it. That's how we should view it if we say we follow him.
Amen.
And this isn't out of legalism. This isn't, well, I got to be there Wednesday, Bible talk, Friday, Sunday, because it's a rule. This isn't out of, man, it's legalistic, got to be there every week. First of all, in the New Testament, it said they met every day. So there'd be biblical precedent to have meetings of the body every day. And in some ways, we should meet with the body every day, whether it's just two or three of us or 50 of us or 100 of us or whatever. And we should have those daily relationships. But we've got Wednesdays, we've got Fridays, we've got Sundays, we've got a lot of stuff going on. And we're not devoted to it because we have to. It should be out of love. We should be devoted to the body out of love for God, love for his church, and love for yourself, if you know what's good for yourself. Right, but just to look at a passage here in John chapter 21. Peter betrays Jesus. He acts like he doesn't know him three times, right? And then finally, he gets a chance to talk with Jesus again after Jesus resurrects. And you got to know Peter's feeling like, man, I got to make it up to you. Please forgive me. I mean, right? If you can imagine how bad Peter's feeling. And so Peter has this conversation with Jesus. And there's a lot of connection here between love for Jesus and love for his church.
Yeah.
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Talking about the fish, Peter's livelihood and what his career, what he lived for. Do you love me more? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. So do you really love me? Yes. Then feed my lambs. Talking about his church. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. If you really love me, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. For the rest of his life, if Peter wanted to remember what Jesus wanted back from him, if he really loved Jesus, if he truly loved him, he would remember Jesus responding, if you really love me, yes, feed my sheep, take care of my flock, be there for my church. If you love me, I'm leaving. I'm going to be gone. So if you want to love me, I'm going to still be here, but through my church, take care of them, be there for them, love them. If you're going to love me, you got to love them because that's me now. That's where I'm going to be. That's my dwelling place. That's my temple. That's where my spirit's going to be. So if you really love me, take care of my people. Be there for my church. And so if you really love Jesus, feed his sheep. If you really love Jesus, take care of his sheep. If you really love Jesus, feed his sheep. We got to love his church if we say we love him. They're one and the same. And so we're devoted not out of legalism, but out of love.
Yeah.
Love for Jesus. And if we love him, we should love who he loves.
Right.
And obviously he loves his church. Right? And so we love God. We love what he loves. We love his church. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves. Nobody devoted them. They weren't like, you have to be at this. You have to be at this. You have to be at this. It said they devoted themselves. So they gave themselves to it. And there was this ownership of, man, I'm devoted to the fellowship, to prayer, to the breaking of the bread, to meeting together, to being together. And so that's how we should respond is, okay, I have my walk with God, and now I'm going to devote myself to his church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can read this whole section here of 12 to 31 in your own time, but just a little piece of it. It's talking about the church and how there's all these different parts of the body. And just like a human body, there's a hand, there's feet, there's eyes. So too in the church, there's all different parts of the body. We're not all the same, and praise God for that. That we're all different. That's what makes us special and unique, right? It'd be weird if a whole human body was just a finger. You know? And what makes us dynamic and amazing as humans is the way all of our different parts work together, right? Internal parts, external parts. Same with the church. Listen to what it says here and get the principle. Talking about parts of the body which are different disciples. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, so the opposite of that, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And so it's saying one disciple cannot say to another, I don't need you. You can't say to another disciple, well, I don't need you. I don't need this relationship. I don't need to be devoted to the body. I don't need to be this. It says you can't say that. And then it says, on the contrary, meaning the opposite is true. You should say, you need to say, I need you. That's what's actually true. It's not, I don't need you, but on the contrary, I need you. And so part of being devoted to the body and these times together comes from a place of I need it. And knowing that I need you, I need each other. And other people need me. And that you want to feed his sheep. You want to be there to be your part and to be responsible with that. And so you've got to know that as a part of the body, you are needed, you are irreplaceable, and there is no other you that could ever exist in Jesus' church. The church needs you, and you need his church. And that's a deep conviction we need to have. What's really cool, too, is right after this is the famous section of Scripture about what love really is. And so it talks about, for a whole three paragraphs, about being his church. And then he says, now, love each other. Basically, love is kind, love is patient, love is pure, right? And it goes on to talk about love. There's got to be a correlation there. He's talking about being there for each other. I need you, being his church, and then what it really is to love people. And so a lot of that is talking about how we should be to each other. But we need to have this conviction of, I need to be with other disciples. I need other disciples in my life. And they need me in their life. Now look at this passage in Hebrews 10. You guys still with me?
Come on, Rob.
I'm going to get a lot more practical in a little bit. But I hope you can see why meetings of the body are important, why they're special, some biblical precedents for your being at them and needing to be at them and wanting to be at them. In Hebrews 10, I'll skip a little bit, 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Talking about judgment days coming. So he's saying, be there for each other. Don't be in the habit of not meeting together. And actually, as judgment day gets closer, be even more devoted to each other and helping each other, which we're 2,000 years closer than they were. And then it says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And it goes on to say some pretty intense stuff here that you should take note of as a Christian. We got to be devoted to each other. We've got to help each other. And I don't think it's random that right after that it says, look, if you keep on sinning, there's nothing left for you but the judgment that was awaiting you before you became a Christian anyway. There's a correlation there about being together and being in each other's lives and that being a big part of what's going to help you stay faithful. You know, I've been part of this campus ministry for 9 years. I've seen over 120 people get baptized through this campus ministry. I've seen dozens fall away from God through this ministry. And I'll clear as day tell you, and I've actually done some analysis of this, that there is a strong correlation between as people start to not be as devoted to the body and sin coming back in their life and walking away from God. It's absolutely true that you can be here in person but in heart not be here and then still end up just out of nowhere being gone. So that happens. But a lot more frequently it happens that people start drifting from the body and then Satan, who's like a prowling lion looking for someone to devour, looks for that one that's straying from the rest, and they go after that. He goes after that one. And so I will promise you that I've seen a strong correlation between people not being as connected to the body and Satan being a lot more active in their life. And I would take that as a warning in this passage. You need the church, and that it's a huge source of protection from Jesus. That's not to say that just being here does the job. You don't. It's not just about being in attendance. It's about really being attentive, right? And being involved in the atmosphere and in the relationships. But obviously you can't even do that if you're not here to begin with. And so these are really important times together. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't give up meeting together, right? We want to make it that it's not our habit and our pattern to not be at meetings of the body. That's our exception. Our habit and our pattern is to be there. You know, that it's not our pattern or habit to not be at midweek, to not be there Friday, to miss Sunday, to pray over. But those are rare exceptions, but the pattern, the habit is, no, I am there. Yeah. And then you can be counted on to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I like to tell people, look, the way that you'd want it to be, the way I'd want it to be, is that if somebody had to put money on it, is Marie going to be at midweek tonight?
Oh, yeah.
That I would be really confident saying, all on black. Like, no, Marie's going to be there. You know what I mean? Like, I could be, and that, if she wasn't, I'd be like, she must be sick. An emergency must have come up. This is shocking.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Marie? And it's not me texting Marie because I'm like, hey, why were you midweek? I'm texting her like, hey, are you all right? Because she's devoted. And so if she's not there, there's a concern there because there must be a good reason.
Right.
And so obviously there's emergencies. There's times where we're very sick. Or there's those rare exceptions. But other than that, we should not be in the habit of not meeting together. You should be counted on. You should be able to be counted on to be with the body when the body is together. So if you looked at your life, would you say that when it comes to midweek, when it comes to Friday, when it comes to Sunday, all of them or maybe one of them, are you more missed than hit with it? And if so, why is that? What's taking priority with it? This is a heart issue if you're not there. Right? In Matthew, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also.
Yeah.
And probably besides money, one of the things we treasure most is our time.
Yeah.
Where we put our time. And so if you're not there Friday, what is that saying about where your heart is, where your treasure is? And that's one of the biggest concerns for me is when we're at midweek Wednesday and you know we've got 70-something people in our campus ministry. And at midweek, there's 70-something people there. And then I come Friday and there's 50-something people there. And so where is it? Where'd everybody go? So when the body's together being a family and eating together, having fun, hanging out, that's not as important? Or is that just as much being part of the family as it is to hear the word of God preached or to fellowship in some other way?
Well,
I think if you don't view Friday as important as Wednesday or Sunday, there's a heart issue there that needs to be fixed. And you got to look at the scriptures and figure out, where is my heart off with this? Why aren't I as devoted? Why aren't I prioritizing this? What's going on there? Right? And figure that out. Or if it's not you, but it's somebody you're close to. Having a conversation about that just like you would about anything else. That if you saw other things in their life that were drifting from following Jesus, you would talk to him about it. You'd say, man, I noticed that every other Friday you're not there, or most Fridays, or whatever, that you're concerned about that because you know how important it is to be there in the relationships. And so I know part of doing a lesson like this is sometimes the people that need to hear it aren't here to hear it. But that's where it comes back to you, Romans 3. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. So if you're in a relationship with somebody that you know their pattern is more to not be at things than to be there, this is a good way to have a conversation with them about it. Maybe read these scriptures together and help them with it. Amen?
Yeah.
So think about that. Well, you want to be devoted to the body. You want to be there for God because this is a special time to worship Him, to please Him, to be there for Him because Jesus is here. You want to be there for others because you know they need me. You know, they need me to be in their life. They need my part of the body to be there for them. But then you're also there for yourself because you know I need it. I need to be there. And I know there's a lot of stuff that can come up to prevent being at things. Some of it is your viewpoint of it, and so I tried to address that, maybe viewing it as, oh, it's just an event, and not seeing the spiritual side of it, you know? Or it'd be like, honestly, it's the same thing as if somebody was praying, you said, oh, he's just talking to himself. No, he's praying. Wow. Oh, it's just a party. No, it's the family of God coming together to be in fellowship and friendship with each other, and that's really important. You know, and so to say, oh, it's just an event, is really downplaying and sucking the spiritual life out of what it really is. I think sometimes maybe it's being self-focused with things. Maybe you feel like you're too tired to go, or you don't like that activity. I'm not into that. That's not my thing, so I'm not going to go. Or I had a really busy day, or you know, different things like that. Maybe that's what keeps you from going. And I want to encourage you with that. I think this is kind of what Matt was saying. Is sometimes I feel this way a lot. You know, I'm like, man, I'm wiped, but I never leave midweek feeling like I wish I didn't come. You know, I've seen these different quotes before about the gym and different stuff like that. And it's like, I wish I didn't go to midweek last night, said no one ever. You know what I mean? Like, I really feel confident that you would all agree with me. There's been times that you felt like, man, I wish I could just go home right now. But then you come and you don't drive home going, I shouldn't have came. You know that you feel that way about Friday and you're like, oh, if it was just a free on Friday nights. But then you go and you drive home like, yeah, I wish I didn't go. We never feel that way. And so Satan's just getting in there trying to talk you out of it because he knows how special and important it really is going to be. And so, you know, a lot of it is, it's in Proverbs where it says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. When you decide, I'm gonna deny myself, I'm gonna give, I'm gonna go, you end up being refreshed yourself. You know, maybe your lack of devotion is because of poor planning, lack of discipline, or irresponsible, not finding a ride, and that's another just, what do you really value? What's important to you? You figure it out. You gotta figure it out. You gotta be responsible for that. You know, maybe it's a conflict of other things going on, and I know sometimes there's stuff that comes up, and I think there are exceptions, but it's something to think about, to pray about, to get advice about. Maybe an important family function or a class that's only available Wednesday nights, and this is, you need it this semester. You can't take it next semester, like, or you won't graduate in time. It's something I think to get advice about, to pray about, to think about. And sometimes you might need to do that. But here's my concern is sometimes this stuff comes up where your mom asks you to help her with something, or the class is available Wednesday night, or your job wants you to work, and you just submit to it. Just, all right, bummer. Instead of really fighting for, but can this work? Is there a way this can work? Maybe this is a test to really see, are you willing to put yourself out there? Maybe make some sacrifices, but still be devoted to Jesus and to following his example, you know? And so I think the biggest thing is, okay, maybe once in a while it has to happen, but do you try? Or do you normally just give in and let it happen? Right, and I think that's what's gotta be looked at. I think I've gotten to see Jesus pull through for me in this situation. I was trying to graduate, and I had one class that was a summer course, and I needed it to take my final thesis class in the fall semester. I needed this class as a prerequisite. It was a summer class, 5 weeks, Monday to Thursday, 5:30 to 8 p.m. And so it's fine, except midweek Wednesday night. And so I contacted the professor before it started, and I said, hey, look, I'm going to leave every Wednesday after the first hour, 6:30, 6:40, because I'm going to be going to church. And I just want to know, is that okay with you? And kind of what would be the consequence of that? He said, well, it's only 4 days a week for 5 weeks, so that's a pretty big percentage to miss most of one day. I said, all right, well, what do you think? He's like, honestly, I'm probably going to just based off that alone, dock you a full letter grade. It'll just be, start with a B if that's actually going to be your attendance. And I said, you know what, that's fine. I'll take a B. I'll just do really well in the class and get a B. That's fine with me. And so I did it. I took the class. I sat in the front. I paid hyper attention, raised my hand a lot, did every assignment on time, was the best student I could be in the class. I left every Wednesday awkwardly after the first hour. I just got up and he knew. I just left, you know? And there was like 2.5 hours left, you know? And I left every Wednesday. At the end of the semester, I get my credit report back, and I got an A. I got a 4.0 in the class. And I talked to him about it. He said, you know, I was going to dock you that grade, but you were one of the best students in the class. And so on the front end, I thought you were going to be kind of a chump, but you showed to be a serious student. And so that was just a victory. And so I'm just putting that out there as an example of when this stuff comes up, try. You know, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and the rest will be given to you as well. And if you get a B is not the worst thing in the world, you know, but you could still try, right? And do your best with it. But part of this is taking a stand and trusting God. Amen?
Amen.
See where I'm at with time here. All right. So if you really feel like, man, this is something I got to grow in and I got to work on, I think one of the best books of the Bible to read is 1 Thessalonians. Paul talks so much in there about his love for the church. And you know, there's this one passage, you could throw it up here, but it says, you know, out of intense longing, we made every effort to see you. And then it goes on to say, but Satan prevented it, which should tell you something. Satan tries to keep you from meetings of the body because he knows how much it's going to help you and help others and how important it is. But I love Paul right there where he says, out of intense longing, we made every effort to see you. You know, that's the example that we should follow as well. You know, Jesus said, become like children, right? Like become like children to enter the kingdom. Last week we were, you know, getting ready to come to church to midweek, or it was Devo. And so we went to Bradley and we're like, Bradley, do you want to go to midweek? And the next like 10 minutes was just nonstop, go to midweek, go to midweek. And he just got his shoes and he's like, we got in the car and we had to stop at home first because we were coming from Chelsea's parents' house. And then he was afraid that we weren't going to midweek. He was like, midweek? And I was like, no, I'm just going in to get stuff quick. And he's like, okay. And then we went to, it was last Friday night. And then 2 Friday nights ago. And so Bradley loves being here. I think he even knows this is a special thing. This is his family. And he loves it. Bradley, can you say I love you in here? Say I love you. And so I think, man, if Jesus is saying, I feel like if Jesus is saying, let's have the heart of a child, I think we should follow Bradley's example now. Like, go to Devo, go to midweek. You know, I want to go. And that you're excited about that. In John 17, in Jesus' prayer, when he's praying about the disciples, he says, I want them to be with me where I am. And so if you're following Jesus, you should have his heart of, I want to be together with the other disciples. You follow Jesus, you're his disciple, you should want to have his heart. Jesus' heart was, I want to be with them. I want them to be with me. And so we should have that heart as well. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I hope that this helped you see the need for devotion, the value of it, the importance of meetings of the body. We've got a lot of different stuff. And here's a kind of a little section I want to close out with here. Is that it's about knowing how important it is. It's about actually being there. But then while you're there, being like Jesus there. Right? And so if you're going to be like Jesus at meetings of the body, obviously you got to be there because he's there. Jesus says, look, where two or more gathered, I'm there. He's like, I'm going to be there. And so Jesus is there. We want to be there unless, right, emergency or sick or whatever. And you don't just want to be there. You want to be there on time. Amen?
Amen.
Be on time, maybe even early to fellowship. But then be like Jesus there. What would that look like? Be loving, right? Connect with people. Be giving. Be engaging. Be relational. Be spiritual. Be warm. Be reverent, be in awe. When there's a lesson going on, let's focus. During the worship, let's focus, let's sing to God. You know, when we're at church, let's try to be in an atmosphere of, okay, fun, but also reverence of God. That we're singing to God right now. If I'm totally honest, sitting in the campus section during church Sunday can be a weird mixture of fun and also very distracting. And I think some of that there is just a level of immaturity that needs to be repented of. We got to focus. And guys, look, I will say this as the worst of all sinners. This is one of my greatest weaknesses and temptations. If you sit next to me, it's so hard for me to not whisper stuff. But it's about what's going on. So I'm connected. No, but I'm trying to grow in this. Is Rob, bite your tongue. You don't need to make a comment. Pick your comments. Just, it doesn't need to be every time. And so if you could join with me in maturity and reverence and awe during meetings of the body, right? During fellowship and stuff, cool. But while we're singing, while the word's being preached, let's go, no, this is a sacred moment. The word of God is being opened. What is God trying to teach me? What do I need to hear? And really valuing those times as special. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You know, we got midweek. There's a lot of stuff. I was looking at Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31 as kind of like a cool example of a meeting of the body. You could read that if you want. We don't have time for it. But in put up Colossians 3, 15 to 17. You know, it says, I'm going to read my Bible. The font's too small. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
We're good. All right. Colossians 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. So this is saying, look, we're coming together to hear the word of God, to be thankful, to teach each other, to learn from each other, to sing together. And whatever you do in all of that, do it in the name of your Lord. And that's saying, do it the way Jesus would. Right. And so we're at meetings of the body, but we're not just there. We're there the way Jesus would be there. Yeah. And I hope you understand the focus and the value of these things. When you're at Bible Talk, this is a focused meeting of the body on the mission. I'm trying to get people who aren't part of Jesus' church to come to hear the word of God. And so this isn't time to get your needs met. This is time to connect with new people, to set up Bible studies, to be giving and outward focused with new people that are coming there. When we were at midweek or Friday or church Sunday, there's some overlap here, but a lot of the focus of those times is relationship building. It's a time to hear the word of God preached as a group. You hear it individually, but now together, what are we hearing? It's a time to encourage one another. It's a time to learn from each other. It's a time to sing to God. It's a time to pray together. On Sunday, it's a time to take communion, which is really important as our weekly time. Jesus asked us to regularly remember his death for us by taking the bread and the cup. And that's a really sacred, important moment to be at every week. It's building relationships. It's building memories. It's connecting with people. It's having good conversations. It's bringing people to meetings of the body so that they can be impacted there. You know, the Bible says that the church is a spiritual weapon, that we use it to fight the spiritual battle. And so when we're a church, it's helping fight the spiritual battle. When we bring people to church, it's helping fight the spiritual battle for them. Just like praying for them or studying the Bible with them, bringing people to things helps their hearts to turn to God as well. Now I want to encourage you, when we're together, to focus during it and then in the fellowship to make the most of that time.
Right.
To be like Jesus in it, to have great conversations. And I want to give you some ideas for that. You could jot some down. You know, I think we build unity through conversations interpersonally, right? It's being here together, but then the conversations. Here's some good interpersonal conversation questions. What's your conversion story? How'd you become a Christian? Amazing thing to ask each other as disciples. What are you learning? What are your dreams for God? What is something God is teaching you right now? What is something I could pray for you about? And then maybe pray together about it, right then and there. What are some of your hobbies, passions, and interests? What are some of your school goals or career objectives, or what are you studying? This is just to get to know each other, right? What do you love about being a disciple? Just imagine if at midweek you asked somebody that. And what do you love about being a disciple? And then you answer, and how that would build each other up. You know, what's something you see God doing in your life right now that you're excited about? What's something going on in your life right now you need faith with? And then maybe you could share scripture with them or some insight. You know, or maybe you come to midweek and you think about things you're trying to grow in, maybe having better quiet times, or you're trying to learn how to be more humble or giving or evangelistic or how to share your faith better or whatever. And then you come to midweek and go, you know what, tonight I'm going to ask somebody who stands out to me in this area what helps them to go, do well in that.
Right.
And during the fellowship, you're intentional about that. You know, in the Thessalonians passage, 1 Thessalonians 3:10 that I didn't read, Paul says, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again, and when we do, that we might supply what's lacking in your faith.
That's right.
And so Paul's thinking about when he's going to be with them before he's even there. And so I just want to give you this challenge. If before meetings of the body, before midweek, before Bible talk, before Friday, before Sunday, you get there, before you just turn off your car and go in, you take just a minute and you pause and you think about, maybe you pray about your time that you're going in there. You God, help me to set aside all the other stuff right now. Help me to go in here to be giving, to be a light, to connect with people. Maybe think for a moment, is there something I want to talk to somebody about or ask somebody about or somebody new I want to connect with or start building a relationship with? You just take 2 or 3 minutes and think about it before you get out of your car and walk in. Imagine how much that would change our interactions here and the power of this time together and the impact it would have on you and on others. I think that would be a really special thing to do. And so with each of these midweek, Friday, Sunday, Bible talk, retreats, and conferences, these are not just secular, earthly events. These are sacred, special, spiritual times. Jesus is there. We need to be there. It's his family. We're part of his family. You need it, and everybody else there needs you. And so these are really important to be at, and not just be there, but be there like Jesus. And so I hope this lesson is going to help you to value the church more highly, to value devotion to the body, to be more devoted than ever before, to talk to people who you think need help with this, to help them to grow in this area. And I think that if we really live this out, these times together are going to be so transformative of ourselves, of the people that we bring here, and of all of North Jersey and the world.
Yeah.
And so I love you guys. I love being part of this family. And I'm excited to see God keep helping us grow as we be his family and his body together. Amen?
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.